The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. Listen when and where you want if you can't listen live overnight. Ramaswamy.
It's
be interesting to see. You know, it's we had just played the audio of Mr. Ramaswamy announcing that he's running as a Republican for the president of the United States, mm-hmm. and on Tucker Carlson. I mean, he didn't do like Nikki Haley did, which was have a big rally on it. I don't know. I mean, I guess he would have the potential to put together a big rally. I don't know if he's going to do that or not. I just wonder how active after he announces he is going to be. Because once you announce, that's, you know, that made all the newspapers yesterday. This Republican is in. Who is this guy?
Right.
Well, if you go silent for 4 months before, as we get closer to the first debate, which I guess would be in July or August.
Yeah.
I'm guessing July or August of this year.
Yeah.
First primary debate, that doesn't do you any good. And so you just wonder what his plan of action is with his very blunt message, extremely blunt message, and focused on all the important issues that America claims they care.
Yeah.
America claims they care about.
I think that there's always room for him on Fox Business, Fox News, and CNBC. Right. So those are going to be your go-tos and you make yourself available. But, you're promoting these ideas, but it's pretty much the same message, right? It doesn't change a week from now. So he goes on, he makes the rounds. Then what next week? Because at that point, you've got to look at the states you're going to visit. And then you do local interviews. You find the
right.
You know, and Fox is known for having guests back on, and you know, regular guests, and having them back on. And I think he has no problem going on any media, but in order to get out there, you're going to have to. It's going to have to be a rally. It's going to have to be a local stop. It's going to have to be in the local media.
Here's the thing that he does have an advantage of, and this is what I'd be thinking if I was him and I was running and made the decision to do it, especially if I knew I had some backing, and I have to know that before I ran. But I would be on the move immediately. I'd be going to all the early states. I'd be going to Iowa, Nevada.
Yeah.
New Hampshire,
right.
Whatever. I'd be visiting a ton of states, and I'd be making speeches on a consistent basis. Now, the one thing is I'd be doing any interview I could possibly do, even with the liberal media, because I would want to make noise. Hey, did you see this guy? Totally ate up The View.
Right, yeah.
And the reason that I would do it early on is because the liberal media has not yet been able to label me. They don't know who this guy is. You know, except this is what he thinks on the issues. Well, no, and of course they'll distort it, and that's where he goes, no, this is what I believe. But DeSantis, Trump is a known quantity. DeSantis is getting to be a known quantity. Nikki Haley, we'll see. We believe she's in her prime, so she can. I had to get that in.
Yeah.
One article I saw yesterday that said, she's running, but she's not attacking anybody.
Right.
You know, she's not saying why she's the best Republican. And so for people like Nikki Haley and Ramaswamy, eventually they have to tell you why they're the best Republican to run. Yesterday he said why he is running.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. Right.
Well, you got two other people that you're sure want to go after wokeness. So, right. Yeah, you want to go after wokeness, but there's two bigger guys ahead of you. Why are you the one that should, you know, even though DeSantis hasn't run yet? By the way, with DeSantis in New York, you saw him in Chicago also, he's running.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And somebody said that a month ago, I think.
Yeah.
Can't remember who that was. But that's who you have to start attacking the other people. You have to say, I'm better than Nikki Haley. Mm-hmm. I'm better than Trump. I'm right. better than DeSantis. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to be able to articulate that.
Yeah, right.
And then you go everywhere to be on the offense before the media makes you go on the defense, as they normally do with so many Republicans. You can't get caught up with that. I don't believe.
Go yeah, on. One of the things that Ramaswamy hinted at was all of the Republican presidents after LBJ and the executive order on affirmative action.
Right.
They had a chance. The Republican presidents had a chance to reverse that and didn't do it. And that includes Trump. He didn't mention Trump.
If that's true.
Right. If it's accurate.
Right.
Yeah. If it's accurate, then he could repeat things like that. He could also say Trump and the GOP had an opportunity to do this and they didn't do this. And so you could, you know, I guess you could go down that road. But he's really going to have to stay out there, because he doesn't have, you know, he simply isn't a household name.
No.
Trump was a household name. Trump was probably, his phone was in 2016 ringing off the wall. You know what they measured, $2 billion in free ads or free airtime with interviews. It won't be that way with Ramaswamy. That's rare, by the way. But it won't be that way with Ramaswamy. He's going to have to get out there and stump for it. You saw that Marianne Williamson, she announced that she's, likely getting in, mm-hmm. and they're going to, she's the plans to announce that she's going to primary against Biden as a Democrat in 24, and that she plans to visit New Hampshire. And New Hampshire, you know, right now is kind of sending the message out to the Democrats that, hey, you know, look, don't start your primary season somewhere else. It's Iowa, it's New Hampshire, and that's the way it's always been, blah, blah, blah. One of the interesting things I thought of is that Marianne Williamson turns 71 in July of this year. If she were to win, she would be almost 73 by the time she's sworn in.
Would she be in her prime?
She would always be in her prime.
Okay,
if she lives to 195, she would still be in her prime.
Thing is about her, I mean, she isn't. I don't think she's a household name, but I do think if people go back to the primaries,
mm-hmm, yeah.
in 2019, they'll say, oh, yeah, she's the spiritual guru.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the odd one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she is not a normal, she is not a normal politician.
Right, right, right.
Whatsoever. And And so, and then afterwards, you know, after she dropped out, she endorsed Bernie Sanders. So, you know, is she...
Well, she lit a fire for a minute in terms of the adoration she got. It lasted for just a minute.
Yes.
You know, we need more like this and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's, you know, as an author, she's going to... And I think, you know, if Ramaswamy is measuring things right now, there are a couple of things here. Ramaswamy, as you mentioned during a break earlier, born in 1985. That's crazy. I had already been in radio for a year before he was born. That's crazy. And so at 37, but as someone who has been very vocal about conservative positions and values, if he wants to run for office again, assuming that this does not get him the nomination, it likely won't, then he can do that, you know, so he can stay very active. Or as an author, he can leverage it that way. And I'm guessing that Marianne Williamson, again, is going to promote some ideas, and as an author, we'll get some leverage back from that. But, you know, I think it's important that Ramaswamy is out there and present, you know, throughout. He won't have the money to keep a campaign running, likely.
Well,
but if he were in the media, I think that's going to be a good thing in talking those ideas.
Well, the thing is, I mean, there are a few ways. I think, was he considering running for the Senate in Ohio? I think he was. I think he was considering running for office.
Because that's where he was born in Ohio.
I think he was considering running for office a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not going to run for office,
yeah,
you know, if you don't want to sit through the Senate, whatever, but you do believe that you can become a big name and then win the presidency, which we know with Trump, you can. You don't necessarily have to come from the from politics to do it. And Trump was a big inspiration for him. But if he's running, that means he doesn't think Trump is the answer.
Yeah,
you know, so he will have to make that clear eventually and go after Trump. And if you're the little guy, you eventually go after the big guy. I mean, that's the way that it's done. And a lot of times the big guy will ignore you because you're not worth spending the time on.
Right.
And that's the way it goes a lot of times in politics. But I just see him, you know, I look at the new people, and let's put Trump aside because he's a completely, totally known quantity for everybody. DeSantis still isn't to a lot of people, but DeSantis comes across as very, I need to get the work done. 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 We're doing the work. We're doing the work. Look, this is ridiculous. But he is a very, very, to me, DeSantis has a very even tone. You know, I'm not saying it's a boring tone.
Right.
You know, it's, who are we saying? Oh, it's not like, for example, you know, we had, and it was only a slight criticism because we know that she has a ton of personality, but when the governor of Arkansas gave when Sarah Huckabee Sanders gave the State of the Union response, there wasn't a lot of excitement there. It was, I thought the energy level was too low.
Right.
DeSantis is Ramaswamy is not only is it the issues, but he talks about the American spirit and the fact of, you know, his parents coming from India, and the fact of the caste system in India, and how do you defeat the caste system? Well, anybody, if he could do it, and he, you know, now has a half $1 billion and, you know, runs a ton of different companies, and if he can make it, then the opportunity is there for all Americans. And you can tell, since he experienced it, he truly believes it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says, I mean, I know for me, when he said, you know, when you read about that part where he says the caste system in India, you want to defeat the caste system? It's something that we've talked about, capitalism. The great thing about capitalism is if you can acquire the wealth and government doesn't take it from you, then you get to experience the opportunities that freedom has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Making money and saving money gives you the ability to be free. No one else controls you. If government has the money and gives it to you, they control your actions.
Mm-hmm.
They have a a much more likely possibility of controlling your actions. If you earn it, you get to decide what you do. He seems to understand that and adds in the fact that he's from India and the caste system and says...
Or his
that,
parents are, yeah.
Exactly, that his parents are, right, because otherwise he couldn't run for president. Mm-hmm. But the fact is he knows and has been taught of the culture, and this is what defeats the caste system. And if it defeats the caste system, it also defeats racism.
Right.
And that's the point that he's trying to bring across mm-hmm. when he says he doesn't want affirmative action either, because the opportunities are there for you. And I'm sure he doesn't believe in equality of outcome, but he believes in equality of opportunity.
When you hear someone speak with that kind of passion and to be on point, you know, time and time again, often in conservative circles we'll say, man, it'd be great if that person would run, right? And now he's running. It would be great, I think, if he could take on Sherrod Brown next year in Ohio and win that Senate seat, but that apparently isn't going to happen. There is, the idea is that, okay, I'd like that person to run. Now, again, he doesn't have the name recognition, but you have to start somewhere. And he's starting in a very big way, I think. I mean, this isn't the very beginning of his political career, but it honestly is the first official launch in a big way. And it likely will go on for quite some time. I would say it'll probably go on at least until this time next year. And could go on further,
right,
depending on fundraisers.
And then he may catapult this to something else. He may run for the Senate. You don't know
right,
down the
right.
road.
I mean, but those ideas that he promotes, those are the things that I believe more in office should be promoting, that more candidates should be promoting.
Now watch, because you see potential for his future, and not necessarily now or in 24, but in the future, he does the first debate, he completely blows it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like,
that happens.
This wasn't the guy. This wasn't the guy we've seen speak before.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens, though.
Yeah. It would be hard for me to believe that. That would be a real shocker just based on watching him speak and do interviews.
He's not hesitant. He knows exactly where he stands on every issue. And it doesn't seem it's not robotic. And I don't believe there's ever a need where he's going to have to say, I need to change what I'm going to say because of the audience.
Right. It's what we've talked about, and it's every single time you're up there, conviction, and he has it.
866-90 Red Eye.
The Northern Plains and Upper Midwest face impacts from an active winter system crossing the area this week. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey on what is called Winter Storm Olive.
We are expecting at times blizzard conditions extending from parts of Montana and Wyoming eastward to the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota. The high winds will be blowing that snow around. We'll see several inches of snow, and then drifts will reach many feet. Very difficult travel conditions unfolding over the next couple of days across the Northern Plains and Upper Midwest.
Livestock producers could face challenges with calving and lambing season underway.
Everything from trying to keep fresh, unfrozen water for the livestock to just tending to these animals as they try to give birth in extreme conditions.
Although with the snow accumulations,
the moisture will be welcomed for further drought relief and insulation for winter grains.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters C, P, Red Eye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. All right, up the audio for a second here. I've got to play what happened 42 years ago today.
Okay.
What happened 42 years ago tonight? You ready?
Okay.
All right. Right now, Morrow, up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
You know, that's the only time I know in my lifetime, maybe in United States history, that America was completely behind the exact same team to an emotional level that has never happened before. They said, you know, that was the number one, that was the greatest sporting event of the 20th century, which obviously it was.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest upsets, but yeah, can you believe it?
Wow.
42 years ago. And some people yesterday when I posted it on social media said, yep, I remember watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody watched it live.
Not live.
Nobody watched it. Yeah. And he's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So, how do you know that the election is underway? The Biden administration released a new rule yesterday that largely bars migrants who travel. I'm reading this directly from CNN. Largely bars migrants who traveled through other countries on their way to the U.S.-Mexico border from applying for asylum in the United States, marking a departure. The 153-page proposed regulation, which could affect tens of thousands of people, is the most restrictive of a patchwork of policies put in place by the Biden administration to try and manage the U.S.-Mexico border, and is reminiscent of a Trump-era policy. Stay in Mexico. The proposed rule would presume asylum ineligibility and encourage migrants to avail themselves of lawful, safe, and orderly pathways to the United States or otherwise to seek asylum or other protection in countries through which they travel, thereby reducing the reliance on human smuggling networks that exploit migrants for financial gain, according to the text of the regulation. The proposed rule will be posted in the Federal Register for a 30-day public comment period and likely take effect in May, when a pandemic-era border restriction known as Title 42, is set to expire. The rule is expected to last 2 years. The Biden policy, like the Trump-era policy, has garnered wide condemnation from Democratic lawmakers and immigration advocates. In a meeting with Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas last week, Democratic Hispanic senators expressed their ongoing concerns about the rule and opposition to it, according to a source familiar with the meeting. Members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus had previously voiced frustration with the administration when the rule was initially announced, describing being blindsided by new border policies and the lack of engagement. Yesterday, House Judiciary Committee ranking member Jerry Nadler, a New York Democrat, and Immigration Integrity, Security, and Enforcement Subcommittee ranking member Jayapal, a Washington Democrat, slammed the move. "We are deeply disappointed in the Biden administration's proposal to limit access to asylum. The ability to seek asylum is a bedrock principle protected by federal law and should never be violated." So why would Biden do this and reverse course? Election time.
Yeah.
And he will then say, "See how much illegal immigration has decreased since I put this policy in?" It was him rescinding the policy,
right,
that created
the problem.
A ton of policies that created the problem, right, to begin with.
Right. It's like the jobs thing. You know, these aren't new jobs. These are the jobs coming back after COVID. Well, we just want to lie and say, "Oh, no, look at all the jobs we created." Well, these aren't jobs you created.
So
now he can go back and say he solved it. Well, wait a minute, though. We may be responsible for that. If you get, because we asked a long time, gosh, it seems like ages ago, we asked the question, well, wait a minute. Could Biden be his own hero?
Yeah. Create the problem.
Create the problem. Right. Make it so bad and then go in and reverse it and say, see what I did?
Right. Exactly.
Which is the equivalent of being an arsonist, starting the fire in the house, running out the back door, coming around the front, and then grabbing the hose and putting the fire up.
Right. But not until after 20 buildings have burned.
Exactly.
And then you become the hero,
right,
for stopping what
pain.
Stopping what you created.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
You saw Buttigieg yesterday talking about, well, the reason I didn't show for 2 weeks and I didn't bring this up at all, I wanted to. I was so incredibly concerned about this, so I should have said something.
I almost felt compelled to talk about it.
Yes. And I would have been there, but I didn't want to get in the way of the National Transportation Safety Board.
I would have said something, but, you know, I would have been a distraction.
I was so concerned about it.
Uh-huh.
I was so concerned that I forgot to talk about it.
Now, had this been a train full of EVs, he would have been on his bicycle to the scene immediately. But now he's, oh, man, that's bad. I should really do something. I'm thinking about making a visit. We're planning. We're in the planning stages of thinking about it.
I'm going to do it as quickly as the vice president visited the border.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He should have said that. Just as the president has been very proactive about visiting the border. No, that's exactly how bad it is right now, that everything is about agenda, and if there is a, you know, if there's a major issue, I just have to ask the question again. Train derailment, the balloon thing. Who's in charge?
It's a legit question.
How do you not have not just one, but a group of people saying, okay, here's our plan. We need to be on the ground. We need to be proactive in this, and here's going to be our message, and here are the people handling the message. It really seems like nobody's home. Nobody's in charge.
All right, so we have to discuss this.
Okay.
We didn't even discuss this week yet, right. And this is a couple of days old. Mm. So are you going to pay $12 for Instagram or Facebook to get a Facebook blue check mark?
I rarely get on Facebook, and I don't have an Instagram page, so no and no. Okay. I mean, I haven't posted on Facebook in a long time. In fact, I have a friend who's in hospice right now, and when I heard that, I got a message from another friend, and the only way to contact my friend who's sick was through Facebook. It was the only reason I got on. It's probably the thing that would keep me, something like that, you know, thinking that, okay, I might need to contact an old friend, and I don't have their phone number.
Yeah, but and, I don't mean that. I'm not talking about whether you're on Facebook. I'm talking
about, well, I'm just trying to demonstrate how much I really don't get on Facebook. So I probably would not have a Facebook page at all.
Well, the thing that was interesting is they said it will make, you know, your post more open to be seen by others, and you would get a person you could talk to if you had security problems. There would be a higher level of security for your account.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they haven't gone into specifics of it yet. But mm-hmm. the $12, that's what it would get you.
That's what they're promoting at Twitter.
Right.
You're going to have a greater, more layers of security. I'm not paying for that. I mean, there's just not, I don't get the content that I need. And frankly, if they're going to do that, you know, again, it's not worth it to me. I don't get on often enough.
Yeah,
Twitter doesn't, you know, for Twitter, it's about the job. For Facebook, it's about keeping up with family.
That's, yeah.
But yeah, exactly. I don't need Facebook to do that. And I've proven that over the last couple of years.
I'm on Instagram a little more because my great nephew posts pictures on there and,
yeah,
you know, his basketball pictures. I don't think I've ever posted on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I will say 9 out of 10 people that on Instagram that become my friend are bots. I mean, they're all young, scantily clad females.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I constantly, every, you know, it's like, you know, what's this? But there's really just two people that I communicate with on Instagram. And they're really, it's through messaging. I never actually posted. But I have viewed, you know, their posts. And another one is a friend of mine who sends me cat videos constantly. Which are hilarious. Absolutely mm-hmm. hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's it. But Instagram I have no interest in at all. And Facebook is just keeping in contact really with family and high school friends with a reunion coming up this year. That's really it.
So I don't get on a regular basis. I mean, somebody would have to make me aware of something, again, going on with somebody that I have a Facebook contact with. And that's what's happened over the last couple of years. I just don't open it at all. I never open Facebook anymore. And I don't even have an Instagram account. So...
And so the only, you know, and they were talking about, you know, YouTube and, you know, the fact that, well, if you paid more for YouTube, you got a commercial free. And so, and I'm like, yeah, but that's,
I get the content there.
That's for content. That's, mm-hmm. I'm willing to do that to not be interrupted with content that I really, really like. I really don't go to Facebook for content.
No.
I may go to Twitter a little more for content. That's work content.
Well, yeah, that's more about the media and people in the media and, you know, and things that are going on in news stories. If Twitter had more original content and, you know, like a YouTube that I was interested in, then I could measure that value. But I won't ever pay until I see a value in that.
And
it has to be a content value. If they say, well, your account's going to be a lot less secure, then I'll close the account. If I don't see a value in the content, then I can just shut the account down. Because, you know, at the end of it, it just doesn't you know, for me, YouTube is entertainment, information, all the above. It has content. Facebook is about contacts. And quite frankly, I can find a way to contact the people if I need to. I just don't see the value in paying for it.
Yeah, I don't see any value. And I do see the value for getting YouTube commercial free. I don't regret that at all. Every day I'm like, that's the best thing I ever did.
If you're a content creator, then you should be on Instagram. You should be on YouTube. You should be on Twitter because they're monetizing on Twitter now. And you should be paying for, you know, whatever level they're talking about. I think that's a value because if your goal is to monetize, then you're going to have your account set up accordingly. That's just not where I'm at.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. While the lead story in Fox, I just went to it now, came out overnight. Sarah Palin tells Ron DeSantis to sit out the 2024 presidential race, says he could run someday, but not right now. She believes that Trump, who endorsed her midterm campaign, has the best chance to win. When asked about who the vice president should be, she said someone who has nothing to lose. What more can they do to that person personally or verbal attacks or anything else on family? That person has to have been through the ringer already, so they know what they're getting into. When asked if she would run for vice president, she said, quote, not necessarily, while laughing. There you go.
All right. Yeah.
I don't think her advice is, if Ron DeSantis is going to run, I don't think that that will change.
Well, because her midterm bid was so successful. No, it doesn't carry any weight at all. It's a comment on Fox News. And Ron DeSantis nailed it in November. And she did the opposite. he took his entire state red in a massive way. She didn't perform at all. So, yeah, it's a comment. And we'll see. He may decide to sit it out, but it won't be because she advised that he do so.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.